All right, we are here. We are Galexis, and welcome. It is a pleasure for us to speak with you today and every chance that we get to work with you, to assist you to manifest a wonderful life, a magical life, a glorious life, a free, empowered life. Our topic, handling toxic relationships. So what are toxic relationships? You've all experienced them. Every person has had some relationship that has given them pain, aggravation, grief. Well, we don't approach relationships from a Eastern mystic detached point of view. We do approach them, however, from the point of view that you have to engage with people who do not happen to be fully realized. And you do need to know how to handle these people so that they don't imprison you, they don't trap you, they don't keep you limited, blocked in your life. Well, now, toxic relationships are learned about very, very early. When you were a child, you absorbed everything that came in your way. And you absorbed all the crappy stuff, all the weird distorted stuff, the weird perspectives, convoluted ideas. It all just drenched you. You just picked it all up. You know, all the urban legends, all the things that the other kids on the playground would say. You believed it when you were very small. And so as a result, you got this perspective about life and living and relationships and what love was. That was quite distorted. Now, if you had grown up with both parents in the household, you may have observed how your parents dealt with conflict, how they handled each other. If you grew up with a single parent who perhaps was dating and you would find their friends coming in and all sorts of things happening and changing, you could have picked up quite a bit of misinformation. But the point is that when you're a child, you're very emotionally vulnerable. And when you take certain things as truth, and when you believe that somehow or another there's something wrong with you, you're put in a position to where you're having to tolerate on a consistent daily basis certain amount of fear, pain, shame, and suffering. This may happen at school. It could happen at home. It could happen with siblings. It could happen with friends. It could happen anywhere. And so the definition of a toxic relationship, as we would put it, is a relationship that for one reason or another, you do not think you can leave. That you must somehow or another continue to interact with this person. And that the interaction with this person can create suffering and pain, aggravation and irritation. When you're a child, you are totally dependent on your parents or guardians. There's no way that you can just up and say, well, I've had enough of this BS, I'm getting out of here. You probably at some point could have even imagined, if I could just run away, I could perhaps get away from this. I could get to a place of peace. Maybe I could find someone who could love me. Maybe I could find my own way. But very few children really can follow through on running away and surviving. There are, of course, children who survive on the streets in poor slums everywhere. A hardscrabble life, difficult and painful. But we're talking for you. You who, as children, could not get away from your parents, from your family, from relatives. You couldn't get away. There's no way to get out of there, no place to go, no welcoming arms, no safety harbor for you. And so you had to make adjustments because of your powerlessness. When you grow up, you think, oh great, I'm out on my own. I can choose the people I be with. I can have a great relationship. I will have the great romance of the century. I will have a great life. But the nature of metaphysics on spirituality is that with every one of you, that you have created a growth path in which there are certain clearings, certain healings that you need to do for yourself, certain themes you need to address between you and other people, certain issues that you've chosen even before you came here to work with. Because before you come here, you get with your team and you figure out that these particular issues you're going to work with, and they're generally emotional issues. So you select your parents based on how good they are at setting up the environment that's just right for you to get your exposure to the issue, the issues that you wanted to work with, the issues you wanted to heal and you wanted to clear. For whatever reason, you wanted to do that, whether it was for yourself and your own spiritual evolution, or whether there was somehow you were here to do it for others, for your culture, for your world. Nevertheless, you got loaded up and everything that you needed, so that by the time that you grew up and you left home and you're out in the world, by golly, all that stuff that you learned, all the distortions, all the twists, they start showing up again, but in different forms. Instead of your parents, they show up in the form of your lover, your partners, your business associates, your boss. All those patterns seem to repeat. It seems like just a cycling over and over again through the same stuff. And of course, if you're in a situation where you're dependent on your job for your survival, and your boss is really a bear to work with, very often the pattern of your adaptation, how to handle that said person, is generally pretty close to how you had to handle your powerlessness when you were a child, or when you were in a situation in adolescence where if you had stood up for yourself or brought attention to yourself, it could have been too humiliating and too scary. You, of course, do not want to be rejected. You do not want to be abandoned. You do not want to be isolated. You don't want to be fired. You don't want to be divorced. You don't want to be cast away. And so you will go into all sorts of accommodating patterns to handle the persons that give you the most difficulty, that present these old patterns for your edification, for your growth, for your awareness. Now, as you get onto the path and you spend years working out this issue and that issue and working on your themes and clearing stuff and working with your mommy and daddy stuff, and you come into working with people that represent them in your daily life, you make a tremendous amount of progress. And in this progress, you encounter new and more subtle versions of these same issues. You find yourself once again in a relationship you desperately want to have, let's say, but somehow or another, you are always in conflict. You always have issues with each other. There's always one stress after another. And you wonder, what can I do? You go and adapt. Now, there's various ways of adapting. The child's way is to keep your mouth shut, keep your head down, try not to be too visible, and try to behave at least in the presence of the other person. Try to tiptoe so that you don't aggravate them. Try to please them. And otherwise, have to put up with them and accept that, and just accept that's your lot in life. Adolescent ways of doing it essentially are being very, because adolescents have, of course, more emotions, is to be very angry and very upset, maybe go and complain about this person or persons to other people so that you get people who will stand up for you and say, yeah, you're good, they're bad. And so in a way you can feel justified for any kind of pain that you give that person back, any kind of revenge, any kind of reactivity, any kind of attempts to control, to manipulate, to guilt trip them, just as you were guilt tripped when you were a child. And as a young adult, when you first got out into the world and, okay, all right, relationships, here we come. Life, here it is, grand. Only to find that the same people were there. Somehow or another, you pushed, you drove, you worked hard to please. You worked hard to overcome the obstacles. You become way more subtle, more sophisticated in the way of manipulation, in the way of managing and handling your relationships, both professional and personal. But underneath it all, there was this sense, I cannot leave this relationship. Absolutely, if you could, if it were of no great weight to you, if it did not impact you emotionally so very much, and you weren't in any kind of contractual arrangement or committed situation, you could say, well, look, I've had enough of this, and you could leave. You could say, goodbye, I'm not willing to work with you. I'm not willing to spend time with you. I'm not willing to put up with your stuff. In those cases, you don't get stuck with those toxic people. And we say toxic because toxic is the implication. And it comes from food and diet, the idea of your body becoming toxic because it's poisoned. Sometimes your food doesn't, you don't digest food, you get stuck with chemicals in your body. They settle in your fat tissue. They disturb your breathing, your organs. And so in order to get rid of a toxic physical situation, you have to detox yourself. Your body does a lot of it naturally, but that which it cannot do naturally, you have to help it. You have to give it a detoxification routine. The same is true in relationships. If you are with people and you keep stuffing your emotions down inside and not letting them be seen, trying to be devious or trying to be evasive and avoid being pinned down, attacked, criticized, rejected, hurt, etc., these emotions, unfinished, unexpressed, settle down in your subconscious. And then also, if you're really wounded with anyone, down into your unconscious mind. They sit there doing nothing. They don't get released. They're not processed. They just sit in the fat of your unconscious mind. And so they become toxic. And most people that you know, because of your cultural orientations, that do not process their emotions, most of the people you have the most difficulty with do not take responsibility for expressing themselves truthfully, but being totally upfront, honest, and moving their emotions through and moving their energy through and taking really good care of their energy and emotional bodies. If you're doing that, great. This keeps you from being a toxic person. But if you still have those compensation and reactive strategies, then your relationships can still be toxic, because somewhere along the line, like in a codependent relationship, a relationship that you feel like you need, but it's just very difficult for you to adjust to, you don't feel that you're allowed to speak freely. You can't say whatever it is that you want to say. You know, it's a mark in marketing that you can't criticize the one who buys your way, the one who spends money on you. And so that's part of the reason why there's a lot of complaints about the media, because the corporations that put advertisements on the media are not going to want the media to present material that has opposing points of view, or points of view that are in contrast or in judgment of these products that these corporate giants are advertising. So, of course, you have to, if you're a media person, you have to recognize, where does your money come from? Where does your food come from? You've got to be nice. You can't talk back to these people. You can't let other people who have different points of view come and express their view. You've got to make fun of any views that do not reflect your advertisers, so that they will continue to advertise with you. The same is true in all relationships. If you feel beholden, dependent, or in any way needing someone, then you're going to have a difficult time with what they say, what they do, and how they are. Because you are not going to be able to be free to be yourself, to express whatever you feel. You feel very scared to bring up topics. You feel scared that if you were to bring up something, that you were going to get tremendous conflict and you'd end up being hurt. Or if you were to say what you felt like, you would be hurting the other person and therefore proving that you're the bad person instead of them. And of course, you don't want to be seen as a bad person. You want to be a good person. And the good person is nice. The good person tries hard to put up with things, to please, to be okay with things. So as a result, you can keep stuffing stuff, no matter how conscious you are of what's going on in the relationship, no matter how aware you are that this person is toxic, that you know somewhere inside, I am dependent, I need this person, I've got to be with this person. For one reason or another, it's either to be a good person, I've got to stay with this person, I've got to take care of this person, I've got to be nice to this person who's not nice to me. Because of money, I've got to do it. Because this is my partner, and without my partner, I don't know how I could cope alone, or I don't know how I could cope with the children. I don't know how I could manage my life. So I guess I have to put up with it. I have to close my mouth. Or maybe I'll just run away periodically until I can cool off. Well, toxic relationships very often have periods where both partners are in good behavior mode. And when we say partner, we don't mean marriage partners. We mean that you and any other person you are in a toxic relationship with, that you're on good behavior. You be very careful how you are with each other, very nice. And then at some point, you just can't stand it anymore, and somebody blows. And then there can be a screaming match, or somebody runs away, or something happens. But the truth comes out distorted. It comes out in a killing, painful, attacking way. Devastating both people, hurting both people, and then taking a while before each partner can pull themselves back together and try to start over. There are people who do this over and over and over again, year after year after year. Most toxic relationships are with family members, people you're really close to. You can't really throw out family. That's your kin. You belong there. Some people do leave family or have family reject them. Very painful situation. And they think that, oh my gosh, if I'm going to have a relationship with my family, I'm going to have to go back into that toxic relationship situation. I'm going to have to go back and kowtow. I'm going to have to go back and give up my power because that's the person that they see me as being. And I have to put up with this stuff. And we know people who go year after year to holiday, you know, gatherings, family gatherings across the country to be belittled, humiliated, hurt, traumatized, enraged, coming back like, why do I ever do this? So when you look at your life, where are your toxic relationships? And why are you acting and responding to it the way you are? We're going to give you some techniques here, some strategies that you can use to handle a toxic relationship, because we know that the toxic relationships, even if you don't want to be a toxic person, by the secretiveness, by the hiding, by the lack of honesty that a toxic relationship has, you are becoming more toxic yourself. So how do you protect yourself? How can you continue a relationship without giving up all your power? See, by giving your attention, all the value, all the significance to whatever it is this other person does in any individual toxic relationship, you have to take your reference point back to you. Your reference point is you, not that other person. But very often in a toxic relationship, the reference point, or that which is orients you to life, is that other person, whatever they're thinking, feeling, and doing. So take it back. That reference point is you. What are you feeling, thinking, and doing? And in the process of doing that, take your power back. Just right now, think of a person that you've had difficulty being with. Probably a family member. You don't feel like they understand you, and they probably have no clue. But take your power back from them. You gave it to them. You gave it to them who knows how many years ago or how long ago, whether it's a family member of your birth family or a family member of your current family or mate or children. You gave that power away. You made them the reference point. So take it back right now. Just in your mind, recognize, I gave my power away. I take my power back now. Power returned to me. Come on, say it. Power returned to me. And when you do it, you just breathe that power back in. And you're breathing, you're taking it from them, grabbing them, put your hands out there and just grab the power that you had invested in this other person so that they could dominate you, so they could mess with your head, and take that and pull it back to you and say, power, return to me. Breathe it in. That's your power. Not theirs. You're not taking away anybody else's power. The power to act, the power to feel, the power to know, the power to do. You're taking yours back. Power, return to me. And you will notice that as you do this, just notice, as you grab that power, that image of that person that you're holding there in your mind has become less powerful. Power, return to me. Power, return to me. They may be even becoming translucent. They might be turning into vapor. Power, return to me. They may be like dust blowing away on the wind. See that power returning to you. Feel that power inside of you now. Just feel it. Feel how good it feels to have your power back. Now we know that your mind doesn't take to this really well. The mind is like, what? You think you can do anything by just doing that? What? What? No, but what if? What if? Monkey mind thinks it's got to have the answer for everything. Stop it. Just say, hey, wait. I'm taking my power back one step at a time here. Now, if you're in a situation where all of a sudden, just as in the old days, something unexpected happens and it feels like your power is being ripped away, you can mentally say, power, wait, power, return to me. No, don't go over there, power. Come on, back, return to me. So you can get present, so you can get aware, so you can become conscious, regardless of the situation. And that's the most important thing. Because once you have your consciousness in any situation with any person that previously you have had to dance around, that you've had to appease and please, that person, once you've got that, that person will respond to you differently. But you got to really take your power back. You basically take away that part of the negative bond between you and them that they're resonating on too. Because after all, most of these toxic relationships have a tremendous familiarity about them. Oh, here we go again. Here we go, spiraling down into the pain pit again. Here we go into the conflict and the yelling and the screaming and the throwing things again. Now, if it's not that extreme, it's still going to be, ooh, here we go into this horrible place again. It's familiar. You've been there who knows how many times. But instead, stay with your point of power, your point of awareness. Because if you can hold your power, you can watch yourself through the whole experience, through circumstances, situations. If you're in one kind of currently, it's easy for you to see that on a day-to-day basis and stay very conscious. Become the observer. Look what happens. I do this and they do that and here's how I feel. And then look how I tiptoe around them and look how I want to guilt trip them. Look how I want to manipulate. Look how they want to manipulate. Look at what games we're playing. Look how we're both not really being honest. How we're afraid of being hurt. How I'm afraid of rejection. How I'm afraid of rejecting. Notice. Notice that in your relationships. Now, if you're the unlucky person who is in a toxic relationship with somebody who tends to blow very easily, who has a very short fuse and a very hot temper, is very often impatient, critical, and will change on a dime, become furious. If you're with a person like that, it's like negativity and bullets just blah, right at you. Now, most of the times when that happens, you go into a kind of a temporary shock. You try to numb out some of the pain that you feel happening, and you tend to go back knee-jerk automatically to an old pattern. We suggest something different. If you can, for a few days, become totally aware and conscious of what you're doing, what the other person is doing in the situation, and of course, if you don't have a current situation, you have plenty of memories of intense situations you can call on. No problem there. We know you can probably think of some from childhood, some from high school. We know you don't have a lack of old situations in your memory banks. Go back there. Look at what did you do? How did you feel? What did they do? How did they react? How did you respond? How did how did it end up? How did you, what did you both go through, or what did you go through at least? And how did you somehow or another come back together and pretend it didn't happen, or how did you work it out, or how did you yell about it, or what did you do so that you would start and go on to the next cycle? Watch. When we say be the observer, don't try to change anything. Except take your power back and stay aware and just watch. If you can watch at a certain point, you'll start to see that you're watching all through a situation. And if they're yelling at you, screaming and hollering and saying all sorts of horrible things at you, and you are in observer mode, you can detach yourself enough to realize that this is just them acting out, trying to release some of their toxic load, which has become overloading, overwhelming, and that they're just hyper. And you stop taking it personally. You just realize, wow, they're really acting out. They're really going nuts over this. It'll flash through your mind as an observation. Instead of you being in automatic mode, You'll stand there stunned. Maybe you have no clue what to do, but at least you're aware. So here's what we would suggest. After that happens, or if you can go through various examples of that with people who blow easily in the past and have blown at you or been highly offended or easily offended at you, and you've always had to kind of tiptoe around, imagine how it feels. Remember how it feels. When that negativity, when all that stuff is aimed at you, it's aimed at you to make you stop triggering their memory of their pain. Some people carry around huge loads, so all you have to do is look at them funny and they dump. They're hostile. But just imagine if for a moment you can see that all this negativity aiming at you, and you can realize this is just energy. What you can do, at some point, you'll be so aware that when it starts to happen, instead of getting wiped out and stressed out and beat up psychically over it instantly, instead, you breathe in, and here's the technique here, breathe in the negativity. Now you say, whoa, I don't want that stuff. No, but in order for them to really do their thing, in order for them to be really blankety blanks, they need somebody to resist them. They need somebody to fight. If you are resisting them, shutting down, that makes them even angrier. They want to have impact. They want you to listen, they want you to know exactly where they are at, damn it, and give them validation. So if instead you say, okay, I'm not going to give any resistance, I'm going to use the old kung fu method, right? The method where your opponent is running at you and you use their velocity to just grab them in a certain way, twist them and throw them over you. And what's so amazing is that this person is way smaller than the giant that's running at them. The technique is go with the flow, do not resist, because when you resist, you get pummeled and destroyed. In a toxic relationship, do not resist. if they're the ones that are blowing. Right? So when they blow, just see all that cloud of fury coming at you and breathe it in. And then breathe it out through you. Breathe it in. Breathe it out through you. So there you are going. Okay, now try it. If you have somebody that seems to think really badly of you, very negative to you, critical of you, yells at you, absolutely shames you, makes you miserable, just in your mind's eye, put that person up in front of you. And just imagine, okay, they're all blowing now. Just do it. Send it on. Send it on. Send it on. That's what you have to do. Okay? That's a step, second piece of dealing with a toxic person in a toxic situation. Now, when that happens, then you're going to have the presence of mind, because remember, you're still in observer mode, right? You have the presence of mind to say, oh, I hear what you're saying, in a calm way. This tends to calm them down right away. Now, if you're the one who blows, and you know that when you're the one that blows, then after you blow, then you feel guilty about it, you feel bad about it, and you have to rationalize a lot of stuff and get yourself back up to where you feel okay about yourself more or less again. When you observe yourself blowing, realize that you're really angry that you haven't really been listened to. You haven't been validated. You haven't been loved and cherished in the way, in the order that you think you need to. And realize it's your insecurity, your terror, your fear, your overwhelm and overload of stuff from the past. You're just going to dump on this person. And you're going to pretend that it's because of what they do. And you're not going to be responsible for it. Observe. Observe yourself. Giving the other person what for? Because they're the ones who are responsible for you to be in such a bad mood. You're blaming them. What did we say about power? If you blame somebody else, you're making that other person your point of reference. You've lost your power. Now you're angry because your power's gone. Because you have to please this person. You don't want to. So in your power, take your power back. Now you may not be able to do it while you blow. But if you get that conscious awareness, if you start getting an awareness in the middle of your blow, then what we would suggest that you do is instead of aiming it at the person that you're aiming it at, aim it at the wall, aim it at the sky. Just start to have a temper tantrum. In general, just start to move. You know, like a kid having a temper tantrum. They're stomping up and down and flailing their arms and jumping. Just do something like that without saying horrible things about the person or anything. Just get the energy out and breathe it out. Pant it out. All right. If you can do that a couple of times, you may not have to blow anymore. You may start to understand that the reason you blow is that you're feeling under tremendous pressure of guilt and fear. If that's the case, you probably need to listen to our seminar on the slave driver, clearing out the slave driver. And there's one more point that we need to bring up, is that to handle a toxic relationship, this is how you handle the energy, one and two. Take your power back, learn how to just move it through, move it out, get it clear, get the energy out so that you can get to a state of clarity. But after all of that, you still have a past with this person. And that past can determine a future. And you don't want it to. You want another option. You want to have a harmonious relationship with whoever this person is. So the third strategy here is to privately is to clear the negative bond of the relationship. You can do this by yourself. It only takes one person to change a relationship. Why? Because generally a relationship is a mutual dance or a mutual game between two people. If one person changes, the other person doesn't have the same game available. So what's the other person going to do? They're going to adapt. They're going to shift. So if you shift out of being a game player and shift out of dishonesty and shift out of powerlessness, shift out of reactivity, resistance, and trying to control, that relationship has nothing negative to attach to. See, for a relationship to stay toxic, you got to have both people willing to have some messed up emotions mutually. And if you don't have that, by golly, then the relationship is open for discussion, for negotiation, for love, for at least appreciation, at least working together harmoniously. But this clearing is done on your own time. It's not something to be aware of in the moment, but you make a mental note in the moment, later I am going to deal with that. And what you do is that you set aside about 15 minutes. Eventually, you won't have to even set aside that, but set aside some time to pay attention to this relationship, to feel the relationship, to sense it, to see the memories of it, feel the tension of it, and then you take your power back. Power return to me. That's all you need to do. Just a mental note of that. And secondly, what you want to do is to get your anger out. Now, if you're a woman and you've been trained to be the good girl, anger is a no-no. And if you're a guy and you're part of the trained in the full macho man code, you have to have a justification for your anger. It's generally not that hard to get that across. But what we would suggest is that underneath every dysfunctional relationship, every toxic situation, there generally is a lot of anger, resentment. There can be sorrow, there can be suffering, there can be fear, guilt. Guilt is a kind of a twisted form of anger. And fear of the anger, and fear of the conflict that could bring the anger, that could bring the consequences. So getting the anger expressed mentally all by yourself is extremely important. To imagine that person standing there in front of you, if you're not a visual person, then just sense that person's presence. And just tell them off. Just let them know you're angry. You don't appreciate the limitation that they've presented in the relationship. You've tiptoed around too much, or you've blown, or you're whatever it is. But just get it out. Get it off your chest. Anything you have to tell them. It doesn't have to even be anger. It has to be sad stuff. Whatever it is. Just anything. But in a sense, it's all your own frustration, fear, negativity, all what would be called dark emotions. Get it off your chest. And get it at them. Not that they are really who you're getting it all out after, because most of the time, this is you just using them as a parental substitute, as a substitute for family members when you were five. You're just still using people as stand-ins. So just realize that and just let them have it. You can go back and let them have all the stuff that's unfinished, if there is any, with your parents, with your family members, siblings, competitors at school, whoever, right? Just let them have it. Let them have everything that you can think of that can come out until blah, 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 blah. Ah, it's out. Just imagine it as a kind of a fiery cloud of energy just going right there through them. And then you talk to them from a place of quiet then, because once all that mayhem's out, all the twisted, tortured, distorted stuff, the emotions are out, there's a kind of a quiet in there. And there's kind of an empty space in you because you emptied out kind of your overload chamber. And what you do is you start thinking about why, what it is you wanted in that relationship. Did you really want to work with that person, or did you really love that person originally, or did you feel that, you know, you wanted a certain kind of love given you when you were a child from that person? What is it? And you start talking about that to them in your mind until you kind of get to a point where you realize, okay, I kind of got it out. This is what I had to say. Don't do justifications, no self-pity, just essentially, you know, what are you going to do to finish it up? Finish up that toxicity. And once that's done, just, okay, I forgive you. The slate is clean. It's clear. That's all right. It's done. And when you forgive them, it's not like you're validating their bad behavior. No. When you forgive them, basically you're saying, look, you know, it's okay for me. Let's just start from scratch. I'm going to start from scratch now in this relationship. And you can forgive them starting from scratch. So that when you see them next, or when you think of them next, you can respond differently. You can feel differently. Now, if you have a hard time forgiving, well, don't. But come back and clear again 2, maybe 3 times before you'll feel like you could forgive them. It depends on how long and painful the relationship is. But once you forgive them, essentially what has happened is you cut the toxic bond, the negative bond that's between you and them. Now, what's that going to mean for the relationship if it's an ongoing, current relationship? What it means is that you're going to stay in observer mode. You're going to be able to see that person in their suffering and have love and compassion for them, or at least a positive orientation that you've chosen that originally is what you dreamed of with that person. You're going to hold that orientation, and you're just going to hold that state of resonance, that state of being. You see, all manifestation is really you being able to hold a certain vibrational resonance. You're in a state of being, and you're able to hold that place. If you can hold a place of conscious awareness, empowerment, and basically having a certain amount of compassion for that other person and their sufferings and their issues and their insecurities and their whatever it is that they've had to suffer with. After all, they had parents and family and all sorts of woundings too. To have compassion for that person who has stuff down in them, who has a lot of pain down underneath. There's a lot of rage and anger unexpressed. If you can have a little bit of compassion for them, your response to them in your daily life situation is going to come from a completely, totally different place. One of the things that keeps games and relationships that are toxic going in their toxicity is that if you're toxic and you stimulate that bond, the toxic bond you have with them, then they're going to go back into the familiar pattern and you're going to cycle through it again. However, if you hold your new resonance and you practice it, now, you're not going to be perfect. It's going to take some practice, because toxic relationships are old imprints from childhood. So that takes a bit for you to really get clear and to stay clear and to practice staying clear, right? Which means that you may have to do anger releases and forgivenesses on a regular basis. But as soon as you get that, what's so wonderful is that they will no longer psychically feel a threat from you. They will no longer feel the psychic trigger that starts the game pattern going. And this will first confuse them. And sometimes they'll try harder to get you upset. If they really want to have some power and control, they will, and this is a negative power over, they will trigger you or try to trigger you. They will try all the things in the book to make you upset, to make you angry, to get you off balance. Sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. But you'll notice that they are responding more intensely, or they're responding differently. And as you keep your cool and just on your own time, clearing it out, and at the moment being able to go breathing it through and out the back, being an observation in your power, after a while, it's like, okay, I don't have anybody to play my game with. I have to stop playing the game and figure out a better game. They've tried all their games. None of them are working. Something then happens very magically. The relationship begins to heal. Doesn't matter how long you've had a bad relationship with, or how intense and terrible a toxic relationship is. It takes discipline, of course, on your part. It takes you learning how to bring yourself to that state of clarity and strength, of consciousness. But once you can do that, how amazing the changes that you can observe. The channel had issues with her mother that just went on and on and on, all sorts of controlling and anger. They could never be in the same room for more than a day without door slamming starting up and yelling and all that kind of stuff. So the channel went through this particular process, and the next day her mother said, talked to her and said, hey, you know, I'm going to I know you're just getting started in a new town, and I'm going to send you a check of, you know, every month just to help you get started. This from a woman who never wanted to give money, always wanted to buy behavior if you gave any money. And this was just a gift. So the channel says, but, you know, what do you want me to do with it? Because she had always given, like, well, I want you to spend it this way, this way, this way. She says, oh, whatever you need. How amazing is that? That's just totally amazing. So, this was an example that she was like blown away by. How can my mother change overnight? When you change, your reality changes to reflect you. So the secret of healing a toxic relationship, of handling toxic people, is to make sure that you are in the correct state of being. And when you get yourself clear and you hold the resonance that I'm not going to play any games, I'm going to be me, I value me, I have love and compassion for you, I'm in my power, I'm not going to give my power away anymore, I'm the reference point for me, I'm in my power, and I'm going to pay attention, I'm conscious, I'm going to be in awareness, I'm not going to take whatever you do personally anymore. And as soon as that happens, you find that everybody changes. You begin to meet the most wonderful people. People that are strangers are so good to you. Things just magically start opening up. All your relationships improve, every one of them, as you practice these. But that's the pathway out. So, We're going to take some questions, if there are any. They can be on topic or not. But think about this. 3 steps that you can change all your toxic relationships that you no longer have to be at the mercy of. Even if you need this person in your life.